is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today I'm starting a new section of this Salvation Road journey that I've been speaking about now for the last few podcasts. In the last ones I was talking about what it's like to be walking without Jesus. In this one we start the next stage, the next walk, and there will be a few podcasts on this, about walking to Jesus. And the first part of this that I'm looking at is what it's like to be in a place where you're feeling for God. And this is what the podcast is about. It's about feeling for God. The objective of this is to understand that when we come to God, it's a two-way process. And we want to see how God and Jesus Christ reach out to man and to see how God hopes for all mankind to come to Christ and to find God. So as an overview, we see that a person begins to see that life in this world is empty. It's flawed or it's lacking in any real substance. They begin to search for a better way. And it's the hope of God that people will choose a better life and seek to move away from sin in this world and seek him. And here, what we'll see is how God manifests himself to mankind in many ways and how he calls and draws people to himself once they make the decision to seek him. So the first scripture I want to look at is in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. The first stage of feeling for God is recognition that he was and is the creator of all things. This world, indeed this universe and everything in it, were created by him and his fingerprints are all over it. The sheer balance of the universe and the balance of this world are such that just the slightest deviation would not allow them to exist. The evolutionists would have us believe that all of this came about by chance, but science does not even support their theories. They talk of an event that led to some electrochemical reaction, became life, and even they recognise the unbelievable odds of such a thing occurring. So great that even with science it cannot be replicated. And it had to have happened more than once, for there is both male and female in all species. And there had to be a similar event to create the male and female of the plant species. And plants had to come first to feed the animals and so on. They're incredibly impossible odds. No, in the perfection and balance of this creation, we can see the handiwork of God if anyone is willing to look for it. And this is the starting point. God has revealed himself in the creation. The next scripture to look at is in the book of Luke, chapter 15, reading verses 17 to 24. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry." Now this is the parable of the prodigal son, but it's a parable also of how God reaches out for mankind. When a person begins to feel for God, they are like this prodigal son. After having spent a life of debauchery, squandering all he had on the passions, lusts and desires of the world, he finally realises that his lifestyle is empty. He recognises that there is a better life by seeking out his family and his father. So too, when people recognise the futility of life, the way this world chooses, and begin to seek a better life, they begin to look at relationships that have meaning. It is in relationships that we find fulfilment, not in the acquisition of material things. And the greatest relationship we can have is with Jesus Christ, who came to give us salvation and eventually eternal life in peace. And when a person begins to feel for God, we see the same thing happen as happened with the prodigal son. In verse 20, while the son was returning but still at a distance, the father did not wait for him to come all the way, cowed and beaten. Instead, the father ran to him in love and embraced the son, forgiving all that he had done wrong. And it's the same for those who come to Christ. The moment that a person begins to turn to Christ, begins to look for him, begins to feel for God, then God stretches out and reaches out to that person and calls him into himself. The next verse is over in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and is acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So why is God so concerned that man should feel for him and seek him out? Because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to learn his ways because his ways are the best ways to live. In him we find peace, joy, compassion, mercy, love, and so much more. And these things are not put on as a false face. They are real. It is God's will that all mankind be saved and that all mankind come to a knowledge of the truth, as this scripture tells us. God takes no pleasure in the destruction of any person, but wants all of us to find the way to life. But he leaves the choice to us. If we choose to ignore his call and reject God, then it is to our own detriment. He does not turn anyone away. It is each individual who chooses to reject God and so be rejected by him. But when we feel for God, seeking him and the ways that lead to life, he blesses us by revealing the truth of the new covenant and revealing Jesus Christ to show us the way. The next scripture I'm looking at is in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 28. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. God made every person on this earth, and he determined the length of days each person will live. Currently, the average age expectancy for people is around about 85 years of age, but there are many who live on into their 90s and quite a few who pass the 100-year mark. God gives us all that time for one reason, in the hope that man will feel for God and find him. And there is a promise in this verse that if a man does feel for and seek God, the promise is that the person will find him. God will not turn anyone away who seeks after him, because it's his desire that all people be saved and come to him. We do not need to travel to foreign destinations, temples in jungles or on mountains or foreign lands and so forth to find God, because he is near and at hand wherever we are. If you are seeking God, he'll be there. He will be beside you and lead you and take you by the hand to find the fullness of the truth that will lead you to life with him. And he gave us all the years of our lives to make just this one crucial decision, to seek him and find him. We should not waste our chance at life to know God, and we need to seek him. We need to feel for him now, if we haven't already. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, we see these words. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When we see God, we seek him through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's Christ who leads us to the Father. It's the teachings of Christ contained in the New Covenant and the Gospel that show us the way to God. As Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that's in John 14, verses 5 and 6. No one can come to the Father unless the Son reveals the Father to them. And the revelation of the Father can be seen in the way that Jesus lived and the example of his life, which is what we follow and which is what we try to emulate. Over in the book of John chapter 6, I'm reading verses 44 and 45, and then I want to have a look at verse 65. So the first two verses are, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And verse 65 says, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And then we see the converse of the previous scripture that I read before. Just as it is the Son who reveals the Father to us when we begin to seek Jesus. So too, it's the Father who initially calls us to himself. It's the Father who draws people to seek Jesus out. And it's the Father who grants us to find the Son when we seek him. Both the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, work together in this and in all things. They do not work at odds or separate from one another, but they work in concert with each other to call people to themselves and to show people the truth of the way that leads to life. And an important section of that verse 45 is, "And they shall all be taught by God." And this is the teaching that we're seeking, the teaching that comes from God. In John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's the will of the Father that all who come to Jesus be found by him and are held in his hand to find life. When we feel after the Father and find him, then he will hold them firm until the end. And we see here that anyone the Father grants to find Jesus, Jesus will hold on to also. He will not and does not cast out anyone called by the Father to find him. Rather, Jesus leads, guides, teaches, and supports those who come to both Father and Son, so that we may become strong in our faith and mature in our ways. And faith is the key, for it is those who believe who will be raised to eternal life on the last day. In John 14, verses 20 to 23, it says this, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, 'Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus answered him, 'If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.'" So Jesus will make himself known to those who feel for God and seek him out. He will show himself to them in some way that they will understand and see and recognize. He will open their eyes to see the truth of the covenant so that the person can grow. And we see that as people come to Christ and learn and grow, both the Father and the Son come to that person. More than that, the Father and Son make their home with that person so that they are always by the person's side to help, to assist, support and strengthen them. When a person comes to the Lord, they become part of the family of God and they live together spiritually with God and the Son in his house, the kingdom of God. In Romans 5:5, we see this verse, "And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us." We see the extension of God's love to the new believer is further strengthened by the offer of the Holy Spirit, who comes into those who receive the Holy Spirit to dwell within them. The love of God is poured into the hearts of the believer through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given as a gift from God for our benefit. The Holy Spirit has a work to do with us and in us. His work is to transform us into the image of Christ over a period of time. He teaches us. He opens up the scriptures as we read and need to know things. He protects and gives us the strength to fight off temptation and the attacks of the evil one. The work of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father, who is love. God is love, and we are to become perfect as he is perfect, perfected in love. Thus, when we feel for God and seek him, he gives us his love and pours it into our hearts by giving the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit can transform us into the image of the love of God. The last scripture I want to look at here is in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and I'm reading verses 11 to 14. "And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So one further thing, when we feel for God, he hears us and answers us. Here we see Elijah standing and looking out at all these tremendous and great events taking place. Terrifying winds that could break rocks, thunderous earthquakes that shook the foundations of the earth, and a massive fire of incredible intense heat. But God was not found in these things. Man looks at great and massive things and believes these must be the things of importance. Man wants bigger, better, stronger, greater and powerful things and believes these are the representations of the ultimate power of God. But where did God appear to Elijah? He came in a still, small voice after the turmoil of those massive natural events. God speaks in the quiet ways. He speaks with nudges and taps, suggestions, offerings of advice. Sure, he can do the big stuff too, but he wants us to listen and to seek him in all things. Yes, God is in the expanse of the stars in heaven, but he's also in the single drop of rain, the daisy in the fields, and the words of his book, the Bible. Seek him out and feel for him and find him in the small things. Listen, and you will hear his voice. So here's a couple of questions for you to consider. Do you seek to find Jesus in the big events and yet miss him in the small things that are all around you? Secondly, are you aware that Jesus is with you right now and is ready to help you find him? Third, have you received the Holy Spirit to lead you to perfection in Jesus Christ? And fourth, often the big things are points of pride, but Christ is found in humility. Do you seek him humbly or in pride? And a quick call to action now. God seeks all mankind to feel for him and find him. So spend some time in a place of peace and think about what God is saying to you. The still small voice of God can be heard if we listen. Make it a point to set aside some time to listen, somewhere quiet and peaceful. Pray and ask God to help you to hear his voice more clearly so that you know what his will is in your life. And leading on to that, a couple of prayer points. Spend a moment in prayer and thank the Lord that he has reached out to you and that you have felt his call. The very fact that you are here learning these things and seeking to know Jesus better is proof positive that God has touched you to bring you into his family. Thank him for that right now. In the next session, I'm going to continue on this part of the journey where I'm talking about walking to Jesus and walking in hope. We're going to focus on why and how God chooses to help mankind. We look at what God established to give us the opportunity to come to him despite the failures of sin in our lives and how he overcomes those things to accept us into his fold through Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the greatest gift from God of all, the gift of his grace. So until next time, I hope you have a good week, and I hope that you'll join me again on this next session at the same time next week. And now, God bless you, and I'll see you next time.